Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, September the 15th. I mean, this is the middle of September, 2020. It's just flying by. Now, 2020 is a year that I think, I'm going to guess, most of us would rather forget, especially the second quarter of the year. You know, the first quarter was actually pretty good. Good economy, a lot of good things were going on. The second quarter, April, May, and June, July and August, not too good. September, you know, hopefully we're coming back. But this year is flying by, and normally I always regret that because I always wish the year would take just a little longer. It seems like the older you get, the more they fly by. But this is one year. If we can get 2020 and all of its problems behind us and hopefully get Donald Trump reelected, it won't look so bad. Sometime next year. Well, what else can you say about today? I mean, you had some amazing agreements that were announced and signed at the White House. And I find that, you know, the overall story here to be so interesting. On one hand, on the substantial side, these are great agreements. Anytime that you can get two countries in the Middle East, and one of those countries is Israel, to sit down with another one and actually agree not to fight anymore, agree to do business, agree to live in peace, I think that's a major accomplishment. As we said the other night, President Carter did it back in 1978, Egypt and Israel, and that turned out to be a very good agreement and an agreement that still stands today. Unfortunately, you know, President Sadat was killed over that, but nevertheless, his legacy and this agreement go on, and the region has been much better off because of that agreement. So, you know, we don't know if these agreements are going to last 30 or 40 years. You know, you never know. You never know. But you have to give credit here to the participants, and especially President Trump, for putting this together and for the people in his team that put it together. You got to give them credit. This type of stuff doesn't happen every day. You got to give them credit. I find the reaction to this agreement from some of the people on the other side to be rather ridiculous. I think it was somebody in the media who was more worried about the agreement or the fact that people were sitting there without a mask, or that somehow people were not keeping a safe distance. Apparently that was more important than the agreement. Now, I didn't see that whether everybody was standing 6 feet apart. Maybe they were not. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that they were all tested before they went in there. That's what they usually do. I mean, the people around the President of the United States are tested all the time. So I'm pretty sure there wasn't anybody there who did not survive a test. But would it have been better if everybody had worn a mask? Maybe. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but maybe the people who were sitting down would have looked more. But, you know, they decided not to. That's their choice. Now, there was also another criticism of the agreement, and I think this came from a Democrat or maybe a member of the media. Frankly, sometimes it's the same thing. And the agreement was, or the criticism of the agreement was, well, he's doing it because it's an election year, you know? It's an election year. Well, it is an election year, that's true. But it's still a pretty good agreement. So, you know, when I remember President Nixon went to China and he went to the Soviet Union and signed agreements with the Soviet Union and visited China back in 1972, the year of his reelection. I don't remember anybody saying he did it in his reelection year. Again, maybe he did. But I think that's more of a coincidence than a premeditated thing. I doubt very much that President Trump said to his group a few years ago, look, why don't we do this in September of the year that I'm running for reelection? I don't think so. That's not how these things work. These things come together because of factors and things that have been created, have been set up. And I don't know the whole story. We're going to try to get an expert on a future podcast, and we're going to try to look at the agreement and how it came together. I'm sure a lot of that is still being decided or being written about. But the bottom line is that these are very significant agreements for President Trump and for the United States. I'll put it more specifically, for the United States. These are very significant agreements. And for people to constantly be looking for the negative and, you know, how can we criticize it? You know, it's frankly pretty silly. The whole thing is pretty silly. I mean, the criticism of President Trump has now reached the point where it's gone from being, you know, criticism to just being silliness, to just being utter silliness, unfortunately. And that's what the criticism today is. We should all be very happy. We should all be very happy that President Trump signed this agreement. The country is better because of it. And that should be the bottom line, that this is good for the country. That should be the bottom line. But some people, of course, are so obsessed with Trump that they cannot even give the guy credit for anything. And that's very sad. That's very sad because at the end of the day, as I mentioned, this is good for the country. This is good for the country. It's good for Trump, I agree. But it's better because it's good for the country. That's all I can tell you. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I've got a few other things to get into. Be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, you may have heard this, but there was a question and answer session with Kamala Harris here in the last day or so. And I don't know how it happened, but she basically said, in a Harris administration. And, of course, immediately she realized that she had forgotten Biden, because it is going to be, after all, the Biden-Harris administration, at least officially. And, you know, she took it back and... obviously, you know, there's a couple of ways of looking at it. You can say that it was just a stupid mistake, and that happens in a campaign when these people say a lot of things. But maybe that was a hint. Now, many of us are very skeptical of why the Democrats chose Joe Biden. I continue to tell you that I believe very seriously that he was selected because they knew he was the only one who could win, or the only one who had a shot to win. So they selected him in the hope that he gets in, and then, you know, the radical left comes in with him. That's cynical, I know that, but when you hear the radical left, and when you hear people like Bernie Sanders, and when you see what Joe Biden basically did, I mean, but he has basically compromised on most of the positions that he's taken during his lifetime, just to get the support of the radical left. So we don't know exactly what she meant by it, but I've always been very skeptical of Kamala Harris. She's a very skeptical woman, a very cynical woman, I would argue, the way she treated Justice Kavanaugh and the way she went after that other judicial appointment that President Trump made a couple of years ago, where she went after him because of the fact that the Knights of Columbus is against abortion, and this gentleman was a member or a director of the Knights of Columbus. So I've always been very skeptical of Kamala Harris. As I've said before, I don't think she has brought that much to the ticket, honestly. But she is, without question, a woman from the left and a woman who I think is very ambitious. And if I were Joe Biden, I would worry about this lady being around me, because she is all about herself And that's always been my impression of Kamala Harris. Well, I wrote a post today over at The American Thinker talking about what is happening in Florida, where Michael Bloomberg has decided to invest $100 million in Florida to help the campaign of Joe Biden. And the official explanation is that he's doing this because Trump is going to put some of his own money into Florida. I don't know that, but I don't really think that's the reason he's doing it. I think he's doing it because Biden is in trouble in Florida. And one of the reasons he's in trouble is because the Cuban Americans are very, very angry with the Democrats this year and their positions toward Cuba. And unfortunately, so much of the Democrat Party this year and their attitudes about Cuba were basically created by the things that Bernie Sanders said during the campaign. And none of these people have taken it back, if you notice that. I mean, Joe Biden was basically stuck with what Bernie Sanders said because, again, he cannot go against Bernie Sanders because he loses a significant portion of the base of the party that he needs to have. He needs to have a united party. And the Democrats are united in only one thing, and that is they hate Trump. They're not really united when it comes to policy. They're not really united when it comes to issues. They have some deep divisions in many, many different issues. And Joe Biden was not exactly the kind of man who used to be in the left of the party. He used to be more of a centrist, more of a, I mean, I would argue during the Clinton administration, he wanted to be known as the law and order senator from Delaware. But anyway, he's compromised a lot, and I think a lot of the Cubans in Florida are very angry at the Democrat Party, the tilt towards socialism, and of course the things that Bernie Sanders said about Castro in Cuba. So what you have is a very energized Cuban population in Florida, and that's going to matter. And that's why I continue to believe that Donald Trump is going to win Florida because of that energy in the Cuban population. Now, there's also some concern on the part of many Democrats that somehow Joe Biden is not doing enough to win the Latino support. And what they're citing and the numbers that they're looking at, they're saying right now that Joe Biden is basically trailing Hillary Clinton with respect to the Hispanic vote, that the Hispanic vote, whatever it was in 2016, well, Joe Biden is not matching that number. And I can certainly understand that. Number one, Joe Biden has never been a figure that well known in the Hispanic community. He's never been a senator that Hispanics identify with. In fact, yes, he was the vice president to President Obama, but I don't think that was enough. So this is why I think that many Democrats are worried about the Hispanic outreach, as they like to call it. But I also think there's something else going on. I think President Trump is a lot more popular with Latinos and Hispanics than people realize. And you see this all the time in social media. You see it in some of the demonstrations. I mean, clearly, a lot of Latinos are energized to support President Trump. And I think this number is a lot greater than what the Democrats realize. I think a lot of Democrats think that Hispanics only want to talk about immigration and DACA, and they tend to forget they have other issues too, issues like law and order, issues like public education, and these are important issues in the Hispanic community that the Democrats usually don't talk about. By the way, I saw a poll today at Rasmussen indicating that most Americans, those Americans in communities that have been impacted by the crime and the riots and the looting, that most of them, those Americans support what President Trump is saying and doing. That may also explain, frankly, why he has more support among Hispanics, because in many of these communities, Hispanic businesses have been burned and have been destroyed, especially in Chicago, where it was devastating. So that may be part of the reason why President Trump has more support. Well, on this day in history, in 1954, Marilyn Monroe was wearing that skirt, and then there was a wind, and it flew, and it became one of the most amazing moments in Hollywood history. Well, I don't know, amazing, but it was pretty important. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time.